Last week, we began discussing what type of achila or hana'a is necessary for us to be required to make a bracha. And we spoke about three different concepts that I want to analyze a little bit more deeply tonight. So one concept is the act of achila, what we would call a maisa achila in halacha. So a classical act of eating, that's one concept. Second concept is hana'a, benefit from the food. And that's more of a result or an experience with the food as opposed to the way that we consume the food. And hana'a, we could speak about two different types of hana'a. We can speak about hana'as garon or hana'as hachich, which refers to the benefit that we get from the palate, the taste of the food. That's like the real joy that we experience. And then there's the hana'as me'ayim, which is the benefit in one's stomach.
Satiating.
Exactly. Satiating oneself, nourishing oneself. So there's like the health benefit of making sure that we strengthen ourselves. That's hana'as me'ayim. And then there's like the joy of eating the food, which is the hana'as garon. So you have achila, hana'a, and two different types of hana'a. And the question is, what of those three is necessary in order for us to be required to make a bracha? Is it one? Is it a combination of some of those three? Is it all three? So I want to continue analyzing that this week. Last week, we spoke about the case of ti'ima, where I taste the food, and according to Rabbeinu Chanana, let's say, I then spit it out, I emit the food. So in that case, I'm not obligated to say a bracha. So even though, according to some, I don't have any hana'a in that case, or according to others, maybe I have hana'as garon, I get the taste of the food, but I don't have anything else. I didn't eat the food, so I don't have the achila, and I certainly don't have the hana'as me'ayim. So it's clear that in that case, then one is not going to be obligated to make a bracha. So you have, if you have just hana'as garon alone, we already established that one is not going to be obligated. What about if we have other combinations? So that's what I want to explore with you tonight. So we'll begin in the first section, where we have cases of hana'as me'ayim. You have where you do digest the food, you are satiated, but you didn't do it in a normal way. You didn't go through the classical process of achila, of eating the food in a normal way. So let's take a look at some of these cases, and then hopefully we'll bring it halacha l'maisa. So the Gemara in Brachos Lamed Hey Amid Beis says like this: Gufa, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, V'chein Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shemen Zayis Mivarchen Alav Borei Priya Eitz. If you have olive oil, you say Aha Eitz. Hey Chidami, what's the case? Ilei Mada Kashasilei. If you tell me that a person just takes the olive oil and downs it, he gulps it down, so Ozuke Mazikle, it's going to damage that person. There's machlokas rishon about what exactly means ozuke mazikle. Does it mean that the person becomes damaged, or does it mean that that's considered damaging the olive oil? It's not really considered to consume it. Rashi explains over there, ozuke mazik ligufe. It causes harm to the person. So let's go back to the Gemara. Desanya hashos hashemen shal truma mishali misakeren ve'ino mishali misachomesh. If you steal oil by drinking, or if you take truma oil and you drink it and it's not yours, so then you have to pay the value of the oil, but you don't have to pay the extra fifth. Hasach shemen shal truma mishali misakeren u'mishali misachomesh. But if you use the olive oil to anoint yourself, then you have to pay both the value and the extra fifth. So Rashi explains this Gemara, source number two, ozuke mazik legufe, you're harming yourself. Ve'enzo achila shatu'una bracha. This is not the type of eating that would require a bracha. Why not? Degabe bracha ve'achalta ksiv. Because we know that the Torah tells us for Birkas Hamazon, ve'achalta ve'savato ve'racha. You should eat, be satiated, and then say Birkas Hamazon. So Rashi, just like we saw one source last week, we saw the Kesef Mishnah say the same thing. Actually, Rashi even precedes the Kesef Mishnah and says it, that we infer from Birkas HaMazon, from Bracha Achrona to Bracha Rishona, just like Bracha Achrona requires an achila, a classical act of eating, so too Bracha Rishona requires that classical act, and gulping down olive oil is not considered a normal act of eating. So therefore, says Rashi, it's exempt from a bracha. What's this business about paying the value or paying the fifth? So if you look at Rashi, Mishali Misakaren, Kishar Mazikas Chaveiro Bimamono, whenever you damage someone else's property, you're owed, you are obligated to pay back the value. However, whether you have to pay the extra fifth or not depends on whether you eat the truma. If you eat the truma, then you have to pay the extra fifth. If you just damage it but you don't eat it, then you only have to pay the value. So says Rashi, the proof from truma is that in this case you only have to pay the value. You don't have to pay the extra fifth. Why? Because what you did is not considered a normal act of eating. So what emerges is that according to Rashi, are you going to have hanas me'ayim in this case? The olive oil is going to go, you're going to digest the olive oil. Whatever nutrients are in that olive oil, you will receive, right?
But it's outweighed by the damage that hurts you.
So lichora, what it means by damaging is that it's like very, when you swallow it, it's like, it doesn't feel good.
Also
feels
sick,
weird.
If you get sick, that's also has it, right?
Okay, could be, right. Maybe it's a combination that you get the benefit from the food, but it also can make you sick. I'm not sure. But
what's the idea of the Chumash?
The idea of the Chumash is just proving from the halachos of paying back truma that you only pay the extra fifth when you eat the truma. But if you just damage the truma, you don't eat it, then you only pay the value.
You get benefit out of it.
The reason why you have to pay an extra fifth is because the Torah says specifically only ki yochal kodesh bishgaga. When you eat it, then you have to pay the extra. Okay, but what we're bringing a proof from is that clearly gulping down the olive oil is not considered eating, and Rashi therefore says that that's why you don't need to make a brach. Now the Rambam has a das yachid over here. This is a very important shita of the Rambam to know. So if we play a kahoot after at the end of this section, you have to know shita Rambam. Okay. So source number three, the Rambam says, "Avalim shasa Hashem en levado." If you drink the oil alone, o shalo haya choshesh begrono, or you drink the oil mixed with something else, but you didn't have an ache in your throat, so then mevarech alav shahakol. You say a shahakol on the olive oil. Meaning when you use the olive oil normally, so then you will make a ha'etz. But if you just gulp it down, Rashi said you make no bracha. But what did Rambam say? You say a shahakol. Shaharei lo nehene b'tam ha'shemen. The reason why you don't say a ha'etz is because you don't get any benefit from the taste of the oil. But according to the Rambam, you still have to make a shahakol. You're not totally free, right? You still have to make that shahakol. Kesef Mishneh, in source number four, he says tema. Why is it? Why is it that according to the Rambam you have to make a shakal? Didn't the Gemara say that when you damage yourself, you don't have to make a bracha? So take a look at the second line, in the middle of the line. Rabbeinu Mefare Shalo Amru Idashasi Le Ozuke Mazik. The Gemara said that it's considered that you're damaging. Elala Afuke Masha Amru Shayvari Chalav Borei Priya Eats. The Gemara was only trying to say why you're not saying a ha'eats on the olive oil. Aval Kevan De Afal Gav De Ozuke Mazik Nene. Since even though you're damaging, you're still getting benefit, you do have to say a shahakol. So according to the Rambam, you have to say a shahakol. According to Rashi, you don't have to say any bracha. Yeah, bar. No? Nothing? You look confused. I'm happy to hear.
What's the benefit? Is it that like you're satiating yourself?
With yeah. Okay. Correct. That's right. So let's take a, that's the way the Egli Tal explains.
What's the case of
on the thing we're eating for where it comes from? So why does it change? Because we're not having enough.
Yeah, so we'll discuss that more fully as we go forward, but the bracha can change depending on the way in which you eat the item or what you use it for. So even though, yes, its origin is obviously the same, but if you eat it abnormally, so then it's almost like you're not treating it like olive oil. And that's why, according to Rashi, you don't make any bracha. Because this is very strange. You're doing like a harmful thing. But according to the Rambam, you don't make a ha'etz because you're not treating it like the normal item.
No, so if we're going to say that you have to make a bracha, right?
Yeah. So why make the shahakol instead of ha'etz?
I understand the shahakol really covers everything. So I get that, but why specifically say shahakol over ha'etz if it is already technically?
Right. So I think there's two points. And the first one we'll try to develop more fully as the weeks go on. But the first, it's a good question. The first one is that depending on the form of the item or on the way in which you use the item can determine what bracha you're going to say. The second point in terms of why we say shahakol, so Murray Verabi Rosenzweig has a long essay on this, and he explains that shahakol is like a catch-all bracha. It's a default bracha. where if you have no other bracha to make, you make a shahakol. It's not only that shahakol works for everything. The fact that shahakol works for everything reflects on what it really is, which is like the default bracha. So when you're stuck and you have nothing else, that's what you say. Yeah.
Is there something that the olive oil has a special status anyway? Because normally, if you drink juice of a fruit,
yes,
it's going to be a shahakol.
Right.
This is a very unusual.
We'll talk about So we'll talk all about juices. Yeah, going forward. For now, I want to keep it to the topic for tonight. So, but it's a good question.
Maybe because it had a higher level to begin with. So then, you are only getting the benefit of being.
It's so you're whetting our appetite. For Scott's going to start arguing that you should make a ha'etz on orange juice. Okay. All right, so let's get to the Sachet Shavar Rebbe in source number 5, the Egli Tal. The Egli Tal is a sefer, Sachet Shavar Rebbe's sefer on Shabbos. But over there, he actually discusses the Rambam's position. And for the purpose of time, we'll skip the source inside. But the Egli Tal explains that the reason why the Rambam requires a shahakol is because, according to the Rambam, if you have hanoas me'ayim, if you have satisfaction, satiation, even without the normal process of eating, you have to make a bracha. As long as you get hanoas meyayim, so then that alone would be mechayev a bracha. And that's why the Rambam says you have to make a shahakol. What emerges for Rashi? For Rashi, either you would say that this is not considered hanoas meyayim, maybe it damages in some way, or you would say that hanoas meyayim is not sufficient. Yes, hanoas meyayim you have, but you also need something else. Maybe you need a classical maisa achila, a normal way of eating. This is not a normal way to eat olive oil. Maybe you need hanoas garon. Maybe you need the hanoa of tasting it. And it's gross when you drink the olive oil. So therefore, you don't have that. Halacha l'maisa, we paskin like Rashi in source number 6. Shemen zayisim shaso kemoshu eno mevayich olav klal mishun da azuke mazikle. And so it would seem from here that the mere hanoas meyayim, having hanoas meyayim, just getting the satiation without anything else, is not sufficient to trigger the requirement of a bracha. So based on last week's sugya, we know that hanoas garon alone is not enough. This week's sugya, based on the way we paskin according to Rashi, hanoas meyayim is not enough either. And we'll see a number of cases where we have hanoas meyayim, but we don't have either hanoas garon or a classical maisa achila, and the way that we paskin is consistent where we don't make a bracha. So take a look, for example, source number 7. Mishnah Berurah writes, Mishaya sovea kodem sha'achal, va'achal achila gasa. So let's say you're totally full, right? You come to Monday night learning, and then you go home, you're totally full. So, shalo haya tzarech lo'osa achila. Maybe we should say that even about Monday night learning itself. Right, so afal pichein im nehene grono me osa achila mevarich alav lefanov laacharav umotzi achir. If you're full but you eat a little bit more, as long as it still tastes good, you make a bracha. However, ve'im nafsho katsa alav, if you're disgusted by it, ve'eino nehene grono, you're not even enjoying the taste. So then eino roi levarich lo lefaneha v'lo laachareha lefi shezo eino chashuva achila kla. When you're so stuffed that eating more is actually disgusting to you, it's not just that you're full and you want to eat a little bit more. No, you're so full, but you're like force-feeding yourself. That's considered a non-achila. You're doing the act of consumption, but that doesn't register for the halachic definition of achila. So in that case, are you getting hanoas me'ayim? I mean, it may be damaging you in some sense, but you are getting the nutrients from the food. You're going to digest it. You are getting the nutrients from the food. But since it's not considered a maisa achila, you're not making a bracha. Very similar to what we saw with the olive oil and Shitas Rashi. Let's take a few other cases. So,
a person starts eating regular with a regular appetite. Then he goes into achila gasa zone. Do you make a bracha for now?
I believe you would, because you have to make the bracha achrona for what you ate originally. Yeah. So take a look at source number 10 and 11. It's a good question. So the Rama writes, Im ansuhu le'echol olishtos. If you were forced to eat. So you have a case where, rachmanu litzan, a person's force-fed. Af al gav de'achich nehenemimenu. even though it's really good food, and the person enjoys the taste of that food, Einu mivarech alav, hoil v'neh nasal kach. You don't make a bracha because you were forced. Mishnah Berurah writes, v'yesh cholkim al zeh. Usfir le dechevan shesov sov neh negrono mizeh chashiva achila. Mishnah Berurah writes that others disagree with the Rama over here and say that no, it is considered achila. So what's the argument over here? So according to the Rama, apparently what we're saying is that when one is force-fed, that cannot be considered a normal act of eating. You're missing the maisa achila. You can't say that someone's doing a maisa achila if someone is force-feeding you. So even though it's really good food and you are getting the taste and you're getting the nutrients, according to the Rama, without a classical maisa achila, you're not going to make the bracha. The dissenting opinion in the Mishnah Berurah says, hold on. Okay, well, either they could argue on the maisa achila point, meaning you are doing a normal act of eating. It's just not volitional, right? But you're eating the normal way. If you chose to eat, you would do the exact same thing. So they could argue maybe that there is a maisa achila, or they could argue that we have both hana'os in this case. We have both benefits. You're getting the taste, and you're getting the satiation, right? So, and it's normal food. It's not olive oil, right? So in this case, maybe what we would say is that when you have both of the hana'os, so then you would make a bracha. And that might be the machlokas between the deos over here. Usually, whenever we have these types of machloksim, so we would say safik brachos lahakal, but hopefully this case wouldn't arise. Yeah,
Ari. Clarify the Mishnah Berurah's approach. It seems like he's treating hana'os grono as a simen for, meaning the end goal sounds like clearly it's achila.
Yeah.
And the question is, how do we say that achila takes place? It sounds like it's not that it's like three separate things to check off. It sounds like if there's a hana'os grono, then that
shows that
we need one of them, but that was the simen that achila.
That it was an achila.
And at the end of the day, it's achila that triggers.
So it's a very, very good point, very sharp, and it's possible to read him that way, and there were those who explained Rashi that way. I don't know if you saw this, but if you didn't, then Baruch Shekivanta, take a look at source number 14. So the Avni Nezer writes, Uvirashi bahada azuke mazikle perish Rashi ubivracha ve'achal taksiv. That's the Rashi that we all saw about the olive oil. Va'achila hainu hana'as grono. Exactly like you said, Ari. So the Avni Nezer is explaining for Rashi that there aren't really three categories as I distinguish them. Really, there are two. There's two different types of hana'a, and if you get hana'as garon, if you taste it normally, so then that reflects that you did a maisa achila. As long as then you ended up digesting it, right? Because ti'ima wouldn't, exactly, basically you need both, right?
No, meaning you need both hana'as grono and me'ayim, because otherwise the polate thing also kicks in from life.
Exactly, that's
you
what
need
I was
both
saying.
In order to qualify basically for an achila.
Correct.
Which triggers growth.
Right, exactly. So if you read Rashi that way, right, and you accept also that you're not gonna, right, so then you would need both. Exactly. Okay? So let's recap one more second before we go to the second section. Okay, so in the first section tonight, what we discussed were cases where I have hana'as me'ayim, but I don't have hana'as garon, achila, or maybe those are the same thing, right? And we asked the question, do you make a bracha in that case, just for the hana'as me'ayim? Talia, this is exactly the point that we were discussing last week. Right, so you were on the ball last week when we were discussing the Rosh and the Kesef Mishnah, whether they were saying the exact same thing. I was trying to say the Hana'as Me'ayim and Achila might be two different concepts. So this is exactly what we're testing right now. Okay, so what we're saying is that really that's going to be a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam, at least the way that the Eglei Tal explains the Rambam. And we're going to pasken halacha lemaisa like Rashi. And in all of these cases, usually we're not going to make a bracha. If we do make a bracha, then we have to explain how there was some maisa achila or hana'as garon that was present. So now let's kind of flip the script. Let's talk about now where you have, what if you have hana'as me'ayim, but you don't have hana'as garon, okay? So not in this case, What's different from the previous case is that in the previous case, you were doing a normal act of eating, let's say. Or I shouldn't say a normal act of eating, but you drank the olive oil, right? So you went through the process of eating. It might not have been the normal act of eating. But in these cases, what I want to talk about is where you kind of skip over the Hana'as Garon stage. So would anyone say that in that case, you would still make a bracha? So let's give a couple of examples. So in source number 12, the Shari Tshuva quotes a case, Ha'ochel chelmon beitza. If you eat an egg yolk, kemoshe hu chai, a raw egg yolk, litzachtzeach hakol, in order to clean out the voice, right? To clean out the vocal cords. This works? Singers do this?
Some people like it raw.
Huh?
Some people like it raw.
A raw egg yolk, they would just take it and... swallow it?
Everyone was thinking Rocky. Come on.
Yes,
Rocky. Rocky? Well, he does that in the movie?
You know, he drinks like the egg. Also, when you, when a person actually cooks like a sunny side up egg,
yeah,
and you just leave the middle raw.
Right, they do that a lot.
Exactly.
Okay. But in this case, you're like, you're trying to like swallow it, and you're not really like chewing it and eating it. Like, you're just like, you just pour it down, right?
Well, some people do that, like cocaine. Right.
Okay.
To smooth
the vocal cords. So, yeah.
Is it like, if you're doing it for medicinal purposes, regardless of whether or not you like it, the kabbalah is different, then therefore you want to make a bracha.
So,
if you like enjoy medicine, you're taking, you want to make a bracha on medicine.
Yes, that's correct. And we'll see that. We'll see that very soon. Yeah, so we're building up towards medicine. We're going to finish off the night with medicine, okay? So this case is where it's not a medicinal need, but it's more like you're trying to, again, shape up the vocal cords. So sha'av she'ina ne'ne betam achiloso. You're not even tasting the egg yolk. You're just putting it down so that it releases its effect, yeah? So then, but since, but hune'ne b'mizono, you're still getting hana'a from the hana'as me'ayim. And the Shari Tshuva says you would have to make a bracha in that case. And the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in source number 13 says the same, that you would make a bracha in that case. So over here, you're not getting any Hana'as Garon, but you are getting Hana'as Me'ayim. So what's the difference between this case and the olive oil case? Because we pass in like Rashi, that you don't make a bracha in the olive oil case, right? So what's the difference? The difference has to be that in the olive oil case, it's an abnormal achila. In this case, it's not an abnormal achila. It's not like you're not damaging yourself. In fact, it has positive benefits, right? And you're just taking it down, but you're not getting any of the taste of the object. So there, it becomes a little bit more of a nuanced case, and the Shari Tshuva Kitzur Shulchan Aruch say that in that case, you would say a bracha. However, according to the way that the Avni Nezer explained Rashi and Ari's idea from before, if you say that achila is not a standalone concept from tasting the food, but really those are hainuhach, they're one and the same. That if you want to have a ma'isa achila, you need to taste the food. So then we said before that on just hana'as me'ayim, you're not going to make a bracha. So in this case, you didn't taste the food. That means you didn't eat it. All that you're getting is really the result in your stomach. So then you're not going to make a bracha in this case either. So that would be the machlokas, whether you make a bracha on drinking the egg yolk. If you say that it's Hana'as Garon and you did a Maisa Achila, if you say there's Hana'as Me'ayim and you did a Maisa Achila, but there's no Hana'as Garon, so then you can understand why you would make a bracha. Because you have Maisa Achila plus Hana'as Me'ayim. The only thing you're missing is Hana'as Garon. But if you say that no, Hana'as Garon and Maisa Achila are the same thing, so then all you have is Hana'as Me'ayim. And we said before that that's not enough. Yeah, Ty.
What about like when people had COVID and couldn't taste their food? Would they have made a bracha?
Good question. So, yeah, let's think. Okay, so I would think that in that case, you would make a bracha. I'm happy to look into it more. I'm just telling you what I think on the spot. I would think that you would make a bracha because in that case, the food is fundamentally, you're able to, the food can be tasted. You can't taste it, right? And you're still eating it in a way in which it can be tasted, right? So, what? No, in the force feeding case, it's worse because over here you're volitionally eating the food; you just can't taste it, unfortunately, right? So you're doing a normal act of eating. In the case of the force feeding, you're not doing a normal act of eating.
Sure, you are. You just don't have your hands.
So that's what I think the Yesh Holkim would argue.
Isn't the first sitting already full?
No. Even without that. Even without that. According to the Rama, who says that you wouldn't eat you wouldn't make a bracha on suhu le'echol, I think he has to argue that that volition is almost is definitionally part of eating.
Forced eating is not the same as just assisted eating, right?
No. On suhu le'echol means against your will.
Right.
Yeah.
There are people who have dementia that they don't eat, right? Because they either can't remember that they ate, or they just don't have the functions of it. Like, that's why they have OT, to remember how to...
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about... I was thinking about those cases... where medically you have to force feed someone. So I wasn't sure, once you have to force feed them, is it even shayach to tell them to make a bracha? I don't know. But if it is, then wouldn't that be a halacha lamaisa example of what the Rama is talking about? It's on suhu lechol, they force them to eat. It's not... I don't know. Do you ever have that in nursing homes where people don't want to eat and they're all the time? So that's I don't know how that couldn't be on suhu le'echol.
Some people don't want to eat and they have to take protein to close up the wounds, right? You have to give them more protein. They don't want all the protein, but you have to give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't make a bracha on the Ensure or whatever protein you have.
I think that would be that machlokas between the Rama and the Yesh Holkim. And I would think the Safi Brachos La'akol, you wouldn't tell the person to make a bracha while they're screaming at you that they don't want to eat. Yeah. So Noam wants to say that it's different. Noam wants to say that this is not really on suhu lechol, because if they were mentally healthy, then they would want to eat.
My wife has those patients that she forces them. They could be very pro yeshiva bachurim, that she forces them to eat less discussed food for them, which could be just a regular slice of pizza.
Yeah.
And they're kicking and screaming and throwing
because of eating disorders and that type of thing.
Eating disorders.
Right.
And that's how you know. I'll give you her number after.
It's a really good shaila. How do you define on suhu lechol? Do you say that it's... So Noam's making a sharp point. Do you say that it goes purely, solely on the act, right? Like right now the mitzios is, the facts are, this person doesn't want to eat. Or do you go by what they would want under a normal mental health state? I don't know. We gotta ask the Gedolim. So the if the bracha will take away, then we'll do without the bracha. Yeah,
Itan. We have the case of if you were too full. And you ate something, you wouldn't say the bracha because it personally didn't give you a not, even though presumably the same piece could be given somebody else.
Do you want to try that?
We had that exact case.
We had the case of achila gasa, right, where you're in a state because of what you ate, where you're no longer able to eat.
Yeah, but presumably the same food would, right? If you tasted something.
Same food, absolutely, right. So can we bring a raya from there?
Mishnah
Berurah
is verse 7.
Nafsho katzalav.
Yes, 7.
Nafsho katzalav. You don't like it.
So Scott wants to bring a raya. Scott and Eitan want to bring a raya from Mishnah Berurah, source number 7, which was the achila gasa case you were bringing up before. Vim nafsho katzalav. So you utterly reject this food. You don't want it whatsoever. And you eat it anyway. Then we say that in that case, you wouldn't make a bracha. So the only difference is that in this case, right, there's no mental health distinction over here, but maybe lomal of lamor, maybe it doesn't matter. Okay, it's good. I'm not sure. I don't want to come out limaskan. I'm not sure, but it's really interesting. We have to ask. Okay. Okay, next. Two more issues before we wrap it up. Last week I promised that we would discuss the issues of IVs. So what if you have an infusion and you do you make a bracha on that?
Same as
so
the
pizza,
would you make a shahako? Because it's only drinks. Same example as a fused drink.
Okay, so hold on. Let's get the mitzvahs down. So feeding tube, how does a feeding tube work? Where does it go through?
You
goes through the nose and then down, and then it's a normal digestive tract, yeah? Whereas an IV goes straight into the bloodstream. Right. Okay, so limaskana, we're going to hold that on both of them, we don't make a bracha. Even on the feeding tubes, the if you look at the Chelkas Yaakov in source number 16, so this is Rav Mordechai Yaakov Breish. He had a correspondence with Rav Ephraim Greenblatt. And Rav Ephraim Greenblatt asked him whether there should be a bracha on a feeding tube. And he says over here, this is in one of the footnotes in the tshuva, he has a whole tshuva on this topic, and he says, "Ubevadai benidon didan, shalo ovar ha'ochel derech hagaron." You didn't have it through the throat. So then, lo have alzeh shem achila klal. That's not considered eating. Vigara me ochel shalo kederech achilaso. That's even worse than eating in an abnormal manner. It's not eating at all. And then if you jump down, four lines from the bottom, hare af hecha dechayev al hanoas grono levad, even if we say that you are going to be obligated, b'chozeh ba'i shia bederech achila, tahainu bliya. You don't have to make a bracha just on Hanoaz Garon without actually eating it. That's what we prove from the tasting case, right? Even if you're going to tell me that the main mechayev for a bracha is the taste, you still have to actually eat it at the end of the day. That's like a tenai in the bracha. So, v'hachanami afi nima dechayev ba'noas meyav levad, mikol makom ba'i achila derech beis habliya, ubalav hachi ein azeh shem achila klal. So the Chelkas Yaakov says a fundamental tenet in the halachos of brachos is that we only have a bracha when you have the normal process of achila. Achila means it goes from the garon down to the me'ayim, right? From the throat all the way down to the stomach. If you use a feeding tube or kol shekein, if you use an IV where it's not even going into the stomach, it's going straight into the bloodstream. So even though you are getting the nutrients, but you're missing the foundational tenet of that would require the bracha, the achila. And that's why you would not make a bracha.
Is that not considered eating b'chol? Because like people are very common in five towns. Like,
we gotta delete that for the recording. Okay.
They take the IVs on the fast day because it's kind of a make-all, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not gonna comment on that part. Okay, so yeah, bar. Either one. No, neither. Neither. There is like a yihi ratzon that you can say before getting hana'a. So the poskim say that instead of saying the bracha, you could say some devrei shevach lehodah or yihi ratzon before taking the IV. But the consensus of the poskim is that you would not make a bracha. So now going to Tzvi's case, and then we'll wrap it up. What about when you have medicine? So medicine, you are going to take in the normal eating manner because you're going to swallow it and then digest it. So would you make a bracha on any medicine? So says the Shulchan Aruch in source number 17, so if you're eating something or drinking it for medicinal purposes, so if it's good and you're going to benefit from it, you're going to taste it, then you would make a bracha at the beginning and the end. So what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about over here, let's just clarify what we're talking about. Shulchan Aruch is saying, if you're eating chicken soup, but you're doing it for medicinal purposes, you're not doing it really because you're hungry, you're doing it for medicinal purposes, but you also like it, you like the taste of it, so then certainly you're going to make a bracha. The Shulchan Aruch is not commenting right now on, I like the taste of Tums, do I need to make a bracha on it, right? Or I like Ricolas, do I need to make a bracha on it? Because those things are artificially sweetened. Those are not naturally food items, right? So do I have to make a bracha on that? So let's take a look in the Mishnah Berurah, and then we'll go to the later poskim.
What's between that and gum?
So gum we argued was you're eating the gum in the normal way that it's supposed to be eaten, meaning like you're getting the taste out of the cinnamon stick, similar to eating the gum. We said that even if it's chemically infused taste, So then that would suffice. And we'll see. We'll see. Maybe that would be the same debate when it comes to medicine. So let's see. Although you have extra over here is that you're swallowing it also. So let's see. Mishnah Brura 18. Ratzalomar, afa pisha ino toiv lam klal. Right? So you're not hungry. You're just very sick. So you need some soup. So kivon sha'al koponim, achich ne'enem ehem, since nonetheless you're getting benefit, you're tasting it, v'la'afuke im him ra'im. If they're no good, they don't taste good, she'en lo hanami zeh, afa pisha misrape mehem, enom v'arich klal. Even if they will help you, they'll help your health, but nonetheless, because they don't taste good, so you're not going to make a bracha. So we have two poles, and what we have to figure out is the gray area in between. One pole is if you have a normal food, you eat it for medicinal purposes, you like the taste, definitely going to make a bracha. The other pole is you have medicine that's rotten tasting, you're definitely not going to make a bracha. What if you have something in the middle? So in Sefer Vizos HaBracha, source number 19, Trufa o kol mazon sha'adam ochel v'shose lematara refuis. So if you eat something for a medicinal purpose, im ein achich nehenem mitamo, if you don't enjoy the taste, ein levarich halav, she'ein anechshev es la'achila. Because why are you eating it? What's the purpose why you're eating it? You're eating it for medicinal purposes. So since you are eating it for that purpose and you're not enjoying the taste, that combines, that synthesis means this is no longer considered achila. I'm going to take both your questions very soon. Okay, but if you like the taste, then mevarich alav tchila v'sof. That's what we just saw. V'nira shegam im ein lo tam atzmi. Even if it doesn't have a natural taste, v'chol misyikuso mechomer mimatik. All of its sweetness is derived from some ingredient that causes it to taste sweet. So then dino levarich alav. So then you would make a bracha. And he continues in Beis, Uli'inyan Trufa, if you have some medicine, like a pill or a syrup, Sheyash Barak Ma'at Mesikus, it has a little bit of sweetness, Ve'ilmalaya Nizkak Le'Trufa, Lohaya Ochla, had you not needed that medicine, you wouldn't have eaten it, Yesh Morim Shelo Levarech Aleha, there are those who say not to make a bracha, She'en Zo Derech Achila, that's what Rab Shlomo Zalman held, Ach yeshahoru levarich aleha michivan shenene. Others say that no, you should make a bracha because you do get benefit from it. So I would think that a classic case like that would be like a Ricola, right? It kind of tastes like a sucking candy, but I don't know. At least myself, I wouldn't have it unless my throat hurt, right? So and it's not like so sweet that I really enjoy it. It's just like okay, like it's tolerable, right? So according to Rab Shlomo Zalman, you wouldn't make a bracha in that case. According to some others, if you are someone who enjoys the taste of the Ricolas, so then you would have to make a bracha in that case. And he says that to get out of that suffix, you should try to make a bracha on something else and then have the Ricolas. Same thing might be true for Tums. I've met people who love Tums. They just like eat them all the time. I'm not one of those people. But if you're such a person, so then it would probably be best would be to make a shahakol on something else before eating that. If you're just eating that, we would probably say safek brachos lahakel and not make a bracha at all. That's what I would think are those middle cases, the middle ground, gray cases. Okay, Adam and Barth.
For the IG or the NG2 thing, was it you can't make a bracha for example, like let's say you have somebody who has an IV tube, an IVN, and they're getting the nutrition IV or the tube and mouth. And they are able to say brachas because they want to.
Yeah.
Are they able to?
So in that case, we would tell them not to make the bracha because we would consider that a bracha levatala because we think that there isn't a grounds to say the bracha, but there is a special yihi ratzon, a special prayer that they can say that kind of takes the place of the bracha, and that would be totally fine.
Why do we suddenly care about the intent in medicine? Because prior to this, we didn't specifically say no, the intent doesn't matter. Because the item could have been eaten, or now we're talking about the intent.
Yeah, so we only care about the intent when it's going to impact on whether we perceive what you're doing as eating or not. So in this case, if you have the intent to have it as medicine, and you're also not enjoying the taste at all, right? So then you have neither factor that would lead us to define what you're doing as eating. You're not trying to eat. And you also don't get the normal benefit from eating.
Hold on. So if somebody were to eat something that they don't like, you would still say that you can make a broth.
Yes.
If somebody likes it.
Right. Okay. Yes.
Now, if somebody were to go eat something, now all of a sudden we say, it had matters because it's medicine now. So now we take that same food, whatever it happens to be, and say, he's only eating it because it's medicine.
Right.
Now we say you don't need to make a broth.
If he doesn't, if there's medicine. No taste in it. If he's not getting a taste. Right. So what you're pointing out is that your intent can change the way that we use the item. The item's no longer food, right? It's food that's now been morphed into medicine, even though it has the same chemical compound.
It's the exact same food.
Exact same thing.
Yeah.
Right. But it can be used in different purposes, and your intent can determine how we define the usage of the object. Yeah. Yeah. Very, very well put. Yeah. Okay, guys? All right, so that basically ends up our... Eitan.
Yeah, I have one question. So we have the Tokyo case above in 12 and 13,
yeah,
which seems to disagree with the Shulchan Aruch in source number 17, because in source number 17 it says the food needs to taste good in order to make the bracha,
mm-hmm,
but 12 and 13 both say even if you don't taste the egg yolk, you still make the bracha.
Okay, so in the egg yolk case, you're eating,
right,
you're getting hanas me'ayim, but you're not getting hanas garam. In the medicine case, you're not eating.
Well, sorry, in source number 17, it's chicken soup. Or some other type of, right? It's a food that, it's like a food
if it were a food that did taste good, even if you ate it as medicine, you would have to make a bracha. The only case where you don't make the bracha is if you eat it as medicine, and you're not getting any benefit from the taste. It's gross.
But that's right? Like 12 and 13, you're only eating it for the medicinal purposes.
So you want to say that helping the vocal cords is considered like a medicinal purpose.
Well, it sounds like.
Maybe that could be a counter-argument, I hear. It could be a counter-argument. Because if that were true, if that were considered refuah, then you would be correct, because then you would have eating for the purpose of refuah without hanas garam. Then you'd be absolutely correct. So those sources are clearly assuming that this is not considered a refuah case. Yeah, because they don't argue with the Shulchan Aruch's precept over there. Okay, all right. So we've established achila, hanas garam, hanas me'ayim, lots and lots of discussion about what requires us to make a bracha. Next time around, we'll continue with other Hilchos Brachos issues. Hashkach, everybody.